focus was solely on the will of his Father in heaven. That's the Jesus way. Many Christians believe in Jesus without following the Jesus way. We get all tangled up in the other ways of life. We belong to them, promote them, and follow them, even in the name of Jesus. And we subconsciously take the Jesus way and blend it with one of the other ways to the point that the Jesus way is no longer recognizable. We sabotage the Jesus way by making it endorse another way. And the problem is that Jesus never endorsed any other way of life. He clearly said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so in this series, we're after the Jesus way, not any other way. And Jesus is asking us to leave all the other ways behind, and that's something that we're struggling to do. In the second half of the series, we're trying to discover what the Jesus way actually is and what it means to follow it. We've been examining the reality Jesus called the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God more than any other topic. And the phrase the kingdom of God, or its synonym kingdom of heaven, occurs 122 times in the New Testament. 99 of these passages are found in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And 90 of the 99 passages come from the lips of Jesus himself. And the kingdom of God is the core of the Lord's life and teaching. If we don't understand the kingdom of God, we don't understand the Jesus way. And the Jesus way is anchored in this spiritual reality he called the kingdom of God, which brings us to the Sermon on the Mount. Scholars have labeled this sermon the manifesto or constitution of the kingdom of God. The Sermon on the Mount is a core document or teaching about God's kingdom. We've discovered that God invites all people to see and enter his kingdom. He loves all people, the smoker as much as the exerciser, the lame as much as the athletic, the Walmart shopper as much as the Nordstrom shopper, the divorced as much as the happily married. God loves everyone with a great love, and he invites all to enter his kingdom. We've also discovered that Jesus wants to change our heart, and he wants us to fall in love with God, because when we fall in love with God, our life will be transformed. Righteousness isn't about conforming to the bare essentials of outward behavior. Righteousness is about a heart in love with our Father in heaven. And we notice this in the command, "Do not murder." The command means more than just don't kill anybody and you'll be okay. It means to stop the emotions of anger, bitterness, and hate in your heart before they lead to destructive behavior. And then last Sunday, Jesus even told us to love our enemies, those people in our lives who don't see life like we see it. Everything is rooted in love, love for God and love for people. This is the greater righteousness Jesus preaches. This is the Jesus way. And so he tells us to leave all the other ways of the world behind and come follow me on the Jesus way. And this is what we're learning, but this is what we're struggling to do. Today, the Lord will address acts of piety and the place of the human self performing those acts. Our scripture passage is Matthew 6, 1 to 6. I'm going to read the passage and then we'll go through it on PowerPoint. Jesus said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 1. Let's go through this passage together. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, we have to remember that Jesus is taking us on a journey of the heart, a journey toward a form of spirituality which surpasses the scribes and the Pharisees, a spirituality which reflects the heart of God in heaven. Righteousness here refers to acts of piety. And in this section of the sermon, Jesus will highlight three examples of righteous acts: giving to the poor, prayer, and fasting. We will examine the first two acts today. But first, the Lord gives us a general principle about the manner and motive of true spirituality, true piety. Look at the first sentence of verse 1 again. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. The phrase practicing righteousness in front of others refers to the manner of practicing acts of piety in public displays. The next phrase, to be seen by them, meaning people, exposes the danger of practicing piety in public. We are not to perform public acts of piety for the attention of people, to be recognized or applauded. And Jesus is telling us that if we're not careful, public acts of piety will become nothing more than an attempt to boost our own self-image, ego, or reputation in the community. Therefore, Jesus warns us to be careful about practicing piety in public because it will mess with the motive of our heart. When we practice pious acts in public, we will receive attention from people, and it might just ruin the whole purpose of our piety. And so Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others for the purpose of drawing attention to yourself. Because at that point, a good deed is nothing more than a little ego trip, a form of self-righteousness, a pat on the back for a job well done. And when acts of piety are performed in public, it may damage our motive and send the wrong message that somehow we want to be known, recognized, admired, or praised for our spirituality. When we perform acts of piety in view of others, we may not be doing it for the sake of God, but for the attention of people. And then it's a subtle form of self-righteousness. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. I'm a really pious person. This is what Jesus is against. And what's the result of performing acts of righteousness in public for people to see? Well, the result is that you will receive the attention from people, not from God. Look at the second sentence of verse 1. If you do flaunt your piety in public, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. God doesn't reward us in heaven for making a show of our piety on earth, and if we perform public acts of piety to be seen by people, then that's the reward we will get, the approval of people, not of God. And so that's the general principle of what the Lord is teaching in this section. And he now applies his teaching regarding giving to the poor. Verse 2. He's going to describe the lesser practice of righteousness as performed by the scribes and the Pharisees. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Jesus teaches about how to give to the poor. Giving to the poor was a spiritual practice in Judaism. It was commanded by God. But Jesus tells us that when we give to the poor, we shouldn't draw attention to it through a public ceremony. He said, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and on the streets to be honored by people. Jesus is describing a public ceremony complete with trumpets to celebrate giving to the poor. And these religious ceremonies were performed in the synagogue and on the street corners. They were showy, pretentious, grand spectacles. Jesus didn't care for these public displays at all. He refers to the Pharisees who planned and participated in the ceremony as hypocrites. And a hypocrite was a person who played a part. They were actors playing a role. They weren't genuine, sincere, or authentic. It was all show, an act, a performance, and it was done for self-promotion. We might call it advertising. And when the Pharisees gave to the poor, they were essentially practicing a form of self-advertising, which is self-righteousness. And remember, Jesus is teaching us a righteousness which surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, this is all the rage in the business world right now. Companies toot their own horn through acts of charity all the time. And for example, a large pizza chain sponsors a commercial about how local restaurants have been hit hard in the pandemic. And over 100,000 restaurants have gone out of business during the pandemic. Furthermore, struggling restaurants are hit hard with app fees when customers order through an outside app. And so this pizza chain bought $100,000 of its competitors' coupons to hand out when people order their pizza. It's supposed to be a gesture of goodwill to other restaurants for getting hard with these app fees. But by advertising it publicly through the commercial, its message becomes an advertisement for the pizza chain patting itself on the back for being charitable and exposes its real motive of seeking attention to grow its own business. Simply put, the advertising for the commercial cost way more than the amount of money they spent buying and handing out coupons. And if they really cared about local restaurants, they would have invested more in the coupons and less on the advertising of it. And the bottom line is that it's more about the advertising than the good deed. And Jesus calls this kind of thing for what it really is, a form of self-righteousness through advertising. Look at me, I'm doing a really good thing. Aren't I special? Listen to this description of advertising. Advertising is a marketing technique that employs an openly sponsored, non-personal message to promote or sell a product, service, or idea. Sponsors of advertising are typically businesses wishing to promote their products or services. Commercial ads often seek to generate increased consumption of their products or services through branding, which associates a product name or image with certain qualities in the minds of consumers. Worldwide spending on advertising in 2015 amounted to an estimated $530 billion. You see, the bottom line of advertising is to promote an image in order to sell a product. And when a pizza company produces a commercial about its involvement in charity, the underlying motive is to produce a certain image to sell more pizzas. And that doesn't mean they aren't doing a good deed by handing out coupons to other restaurants in the area. It does mean they want to promote an image of themselves in order to sell more pizzas. And so charity is used to sell an image, an idea, a product, or a service. And there's always an underlying motive that's exposed when we advertise in public. We want attention for it. And so public acts of charity can easily become nothing more than a form of self-promotion through advertising. Be careful not to advertise yourself when you perform acts of piety. Now, unfortunately, churches have gotten into advertising too, especially the more high-profile churches. And churches advertise to make themselves look good to attract people to their cause. But we know the truth, don't we? We know the truth. Nothing is as good as the advertising makes it look. Ever. Isn't that true? You ever had to hire somebody and you look at resumes? Well, these are 20 perfect people. Man, I don't know what to do. These people are perfect. There's not a flaw among any one of them. It's how advertising works. We want to make ourselves look good so that people will notice us, hire us, follow us, whatever it is we're trying to do. So Jesus warns us that when we perform pious acts and public displays, we might just succumb to our own self-image. We just might be doing it for our sake and not God's sake, and that's why we got to be careful. And that's the lesser righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, making a big to-do, putting on a big show. Everybody come and look what we're doing. We're giving money to these poor, pathetic people. Aren't we good? Yeah, Jesus doesn't like that kind of thing. And so he tells us the better way to give to the poor, verses 3 and 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand even know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. Jesus tells his disciples that when they give to the poor, they should do it privately, secretly, as an act of faith in God. He used the image of not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and the image simply provokes the meaning of secrecy or privacy between you and God. It's not about taking credit for anything, being noticed or admired. It's not about you receiving attention for doing something in God's name. It's about God alone. And we'll talk about the meaning of verse 4 in the next section on prayer, which brings us to the pious practice of prayer and the wrong or lesser righteousness as practiced by the Pharisees, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Same kind of thing here as with giving to the poor. Jesus forbids us to pray in a hypocritical manner on the street or in the synagogue. And the Lord is referring to long and winding prayers performed for show, out of pretense and pride, to demonstrate our knowledge of God, perhaps our devotion to God. And when we pray, we are to be conscious of God, not people. And this is what Jesus is warning us against, bringing again attention to ourself. And so he has a better way to practice prayer, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray privately in a room with the door closed. Why? Simply because there's no pretense behind closed doors, no role-playing, no fear of what anyone thinks about you. Jesus refers to God the Father as unseen as the motivation to pray privately. Jesus is highlighting God's omnipresence. In other words, God is everywhere. And he sees what's done in private, not just what happens in public. God is with us in our inner room when we pray. And in that context, we have a private meeting with God. We're not influenced by what others think or might think about us. And so here we can be open, honest, and authentic as we talk to God without editing or crafting our prayer to be heard by others. And when other people hear it, it just screws up the motive. But when we go in our inner room and we close the door and it's just me and God, it reveals my heart with God, because there's no outside influence. I can curse with God. I can cry with God. I can yell at God. I can scream at God. I can be totally honest and raw in how I'm feeling with God in that moment, and God can handle it because he knows I'm not putting on a show. It's just me and him, and he's getting the real me and what I'm thinking and feeling in his presence at that moment. And God cherishes that kind of honesty. And it also reveals to us that God knows us personally, individually, and he wants a relationship with us in a deep and powerful way. We're not simply a face in the crowd to God, but his child, and he gives us his undivided attention when we talk with him privately. And it's in private where we can become intimate with God about what we really think and need to talk about. It's no one else's business. And when we're alone with God in private, we pray for God's sake, not just our own sake. But when we're in public, we tend to think about our own sake and not God's sake. And in public, we tend to care too much about what other people think about us. In private, it's the real deal, warts and all, as the saying goes. And so Jesus tells us that what God would rather have us come to him in private, warts and all, authentic and honest and true and real and genuine, than to go put on some kind of little show out in public and you're really not able to be your true self because you care too much about what other people think. God wants your heart. And so again, Jesus is moving us to a greater love for God instead of just a love for ourselves. And a disciple of Jesus always moves toward God and away from self. And when we follow the Jesus way, we always move away from forms of self-righteousness to God's righteousness. And true spirituality takes us out of ourself and toward God for the sake of God. True righteousness is following after God for his sake, not our own sake. And the scribes and Pharisees practiced a shallow form of righteousness. It was actually self-righteousness masquerading as true righteousness. It was shallow and superficial because they did it to receive attention from people and to feel better about themselves. True righteousness, on the other hand, comes from a love for God, a focus on God, a desire for God. It's for God's sake. But the religious leaders of Israel were using acts of piety for their own sake. Look at me, see me, applaud me, approve of me, need me, want me, love me, admire me, praise me. And Jesus says, oh, that just stinks to high heaven. That's not a deeper form of righteousness. That's just self-righteousness. I want to share with you the 4 degrees of love by Bernard of Clairvaux, because it fits here. Probably never seen this before. I hadn't until I read a book. Maybe it's not up there. Do we have that up there, Eric? There we go. The first degree of love is when people love themselves for their own sake. The second degree of love is when people love God for their own sake. The third degree of love is when people love God for God's sake, and the fourth degree of love is when people love themselves for God's sake. It's clear from the teaching of Jesus that the scribes and Pharisees practiced the first 2 degrees of love, the more selfish motives of love. And they did acts of piety for their own sake, their own reputation in the community. And all they could focus on was themselves. Nothing they did was truly for God, but for themselves. And it's the last 2 degrees of love, which are for God's sake. And this is the kind of love Jesus teaches his disciples to experience and to practice, to get the focus off of ourselves and onto God, to not use God for our own personal advantage or promotion. And if we remain in the first 2 degrees of love, our righteousness will always be self-centered, pretentious, and self-righteous. Our spirituality will be superficial, shallow, and artificial. It's the last 2 degrees of love where we begin to think and act for the sake of God alone. And so what's the purpose of performing acts of piety? According to Jesus, it's to love God for God's sake and to express ourselves for God's sake. And the best way to do that is privately, secretly, with God. When no one else is watching, but only God. And Jesus is trying to tell us that if we seek public attention for our piety, we're messing with our heart. We're messing with our motive for performing the act of piety. But if we perform acts of piety privately, it keeps our heart in the right place, which is our love for God, because when it's just me and God, the show's over. It's a done deal. He knows my heart anyway. And so I just come before him, warts and all, and we spend some time together. And we can trust the motive of our heart when we serve God quietly and privately without pretense and performance. But when we desire to perform our piety in the public square, we might just succumb to ego, pride, and self-righteousness, just like the scribes and the Pharisees. So this doesn't mean maybe that you never have a public display of righteousness, of pious acts, but Jesus says, be careful if you're going to do that, that you're doing it for the sake of God and not for your own sake, because public always messes with us when people are watching. You know, when it comes to the practice of righteousness, of spirituality or piety, the sad truth is that many Christians cannot see past their own self, the applause of others, and the patterns of this world. And they don't know the heart of God, aren't connected to the heart of God, and therefore have no ultimate concern for the heart of God. And like the scribes and the Pharisees, we live in a smaller, superficial form of righteousness that's more about us and less about God. And before we know it, we're not following the Jesus way, not at all. We're following something much more deceptive, our way. And that's a dangerous place to be. You know, I think back to when Paul and Travis preached for me when I was on vacation, and they both expressed this reality in their own stories, in their own way. Paul had a fear of death until he had a near-death experience and knew God was his only hope, his real hope. Travis used to pat himself on the back and think, good job, Travis, until God got a hold of him, and now he thinks, thanks be to God. And they both moved from a superficial form of righteousness to the real deal. They grew closer to the heart of God. That's the Jesus way. That's the Jesus way. And so look at these degrees of love again. Let's just look at them. The first degree of love, when people love themselves for their own sake, that's really pathetic, isn't it? Where do you think most people are in life? Yeah, right there. The second degree of love, a little less pathetic, but it's still pathetic, when people love God for their own sake. In other words, God, I'm coming to you for one and one reason only, to get what I want, and you're the guy that can give it to me. And so I want to take advantage of you to get my will out of life. Now we're moving into spirituality, the third degree of love. When I love God for God's sake, and I even love myself for God's sake, not for my own. Let's stand together and let's pray. Lord, this Jesus way really strikes at our heart. It hits us in the deepest place. Lord, let us not run from it to another way where we can hide. But to open our heart to you. To find true eternal life. Both now and forevermore. Lord, let us understand deeply and clearly that you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life, and that no one knows the Father except through the Jesus way. It's in your precious, holy, and eternal name we pray, Lord. Amen. I want to thank you for coming. You're dismissed. Have a great day.